We're beginning the interview with David Lowell in Rio Rico, Arizona on September 15th, 1998. This is interview one. Okay. So we're beginning interview one, and we're sitting in your very beautiful office out on your ranch, and we're going to be talking about all the things that brought us to where you are today. Let's begin at the beginning.
Well, I was born not far from here on a small ranch north of Nogales, Arizona. And my date of birth was February 28th, 1928. And I was born at home instead of being born in a hospital in a town. And the reason that this happened was that my brother and sister were both very sick at the time, and the doctor, whose name was Dr. Smelker, was not sure of the cause of the illness, and he felt it was probably contagious, and he was right, because it turned out years later that my brother and sister had had polio at that time.
My.
And at any rate,
were they disabled by it?
No. Not really. My sister had a few kind of vague effects of it, and as far as I know, there were none in the case of my brother.
What made them think they had polio?
That I don't know. This comes largely from my sister. A first cousin also was sick at the same time, and he did develop some physical disability, but even in his case it was relatively mild.
Hmm.
In any case, a nurse was hired, and whose name was Mrs. Brown, you know, who took care of my mother, and my sister's comments on this was that Mrs. Brown tolerated my brother and sister as pests, but didn't worry about it. My brother was 5 years older than I, and my sister 9 years older.
Mm.
My brother was in the Marine Corps and was killed in the Battle of Iwo Jima in the Second World War.
What was his name?
His name was William Courier. Let me do that again. His name was Herbie William Lowell.
H-E-R-B-E-Y?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister's name was Margaret Lowell. Grade. Her married name was Grade. She's now a widow. And she was also in the service in the Second World War, and was the first wave Navy officer from Arizona.
Hmm.
And I grew up in Santa Cruz County for the first 7 years of my life, and the 1928 birth date obviously coincided with the Great Depression, and one of the fundamental conditions of my childhood was poverty. My family had been in good shape until about 1930, but...
What did your father do?
My father was a mining engineer and had worked for mining companies, but during the Depression was unable to get a job as a staff member of a mining company. And he operated small mines in southern Arizona during most of the 1930s. And these were really small mines, usually with only two or three employees.
Copper mines?
The mines were silver, lead, zinc, gold, and copper. There were three or four different mines that worked in. They were usually optioned from someone. In some cases, he acquired them by staking mining claims. And
had your father studied mining?
My father attended Tufts College in Boston, and he had. He spent 3 years in college, at which time his father died. My father grew up in Farmington, Maine, and his father was a apple broker, and they were reasonably well off, but there no longer was money for Dad's education when his father died, and he left New England and came to Arizona and Mexico.
When would this have been?
That was about 1915, I believe, that he came to Arizona.
It was a booming economy at that time, was it?
Well, the population of Arizona at that time, I'm guessing, was only 5% of what it is now.
When was Bisbee the center of things? Around 1900, wasn't it?
Yes. I think that's right.
5, I'm thinking that those mm-hmm. were the years.
My father worked in the Tiger Mine near what was later the San Manuel Mine. Mm.
Had he studied engineering at Tufts?
Yes, he had he lacked about 1 year of graduating mm-hmm. at Tufts, and he had health problems, which was one of the reasons for leaving New England also. And he was overage to be in the Army in the First World War. But he had earlier been a lieutenant in the National Guard in Maine, and my mother was born in Santa Cruz County near Nogales, and she grew up on a cattle ranch and had five brothers, I believe.
What was her maiden name?
Her name was Levina Cumming.
And your father was?
Was Arthur Currier Lowell. His mother's family were couriers.
Just a sec.
My mother's family family name was Currier, and presumably they're part of the Currier and Ives family in New England. Mm-hmm. My father was a distant cousin of Percival Lowell and Amy Lowell and the other poet Lowell, and one of his relatives was had been a cavalry general in the Civil War, who was killed in battle, and the family in Farmington was a small family, and he was an only child, and there are now no Lowells in Farmington, Maine. Mm-hmm. And my mother's family, my mother's father's name was Douglas Wallace Cumming. He was born in Picton, Ontario. And his family were Scots who had immigrated first to the United States, and they were English sympathizers in the Revolutionary War, and had to move to Canada at that time.
Royalists.
United don't remember what that group were called, but they when I was a child, I had thought that that branch of the family were Americans in the Revolutionary War, and I found out later that they were part of the Redcoats at the mm-hmm. Battle of Bunker Hill instead of.
How did you find that out?
My sister is interested in family genealogy, and she has done quite a bit to try to learn about the roots of the Cumming family, and she's made a couple of trips to Scotland and has a family tree worked out in Scotland.
But as a child, you were not told much about this?
No. No, I'm not even sure my mother knew
about this. I wonder how the family came from Canada to New Mexico, or to Arizona.
Well, my grandfather was quite a unusual person, and
this is your mother's father.
My mother's father.
Douglas Wallace Cumming. Mm-hmm.
And he ran away from home, and got a job as a cabin boy on a boat and sailed around the Horn to California.
Hmm.
And
do you know an approximate year for that?
No, I don't, but I maybe that's something I can supply later.
I have a picture
of him taken in California in 1860.
Uh-huh.
And after his voyage of exploration, several other members of the family in Canada immigrated to California.
Wow.
And I still have a fairly extensive set of relatives in California. And
where did they settle?
They settled around Santa Cruz and Watsonville, California. And my mother was sent away to school at Santa Cruz when her mother died, and she was a young girl, and my grandfather decided that the cattle ranch was not a good place for her to grow up, and she was sent to Santa Cruz.
Now, the cattle ranch was here.
Was not here, but it was near
in Arizona.
Here.
And Santa Cruz
County is Nogales and Rio Rico and Tubac.
As I'm getting confused with Santa Cruz, California.
Well, yes, it's a coincidence of names.
So your mother was born in... Where was your mother born?
She was born also on a ranch.
Here?
Near here, on
I
the
see.
Other side of the valley.
But her father had been in California and then came here.
Yes, but I've skipped a good part of his history, which was pretty colorful. He returned from... He made two trips to California. One, the first one, he sailed around the Horn as a cabin boy, and the second trip, he went as far as the Isthmus of Panama and rode a mule across Panama and got another ride up the west coast. But back in about 1870, he established a freight business and freighted in wagons from Dodge City, Kansas to Arizona and Sonora.
Oh my.
And that's a fax machine again. You want to stop?
Well, if it, we'll wait and see how noisy it gets.
But this was back in the cowboys and Indians days, and he was involved in several Indian battles, and at the time he died before I was born, so I never met him, but at the time he died, he had two lead bullets in his body that hadn't been removed, and one, his left arm was partly disabled because an arrow had gone through his bicep of his arm, and he had a groove in the top of his head where a bullet had just missed his head.
So you grew up with hearing these kinds of stories, did
yes.
you, about your grandfather? That's wonderful.
And I ran into a fellow when I was a boy who told his story about meeting my grandfather in Nogales, Sonora, and he said he was walking down the street and a Mexican flew through a window in a saloon, and he stopped in amazement, and then a second Mexican came through the same window, and then my grandfather came out to make sure they were not coming back in. So this was back in the Wild West days.
Yes, indeed.
And my grandfather was the Indian agent to the Snake Indians, and for a couple of years at one point.
Now, where were they?
In Idaho, I believe, on the Snake River.
So that's a long ways from Nogales.
Yes, I think that was prior to the Nogales time.
Uh-huh.
And they were the Snake Indians were a branch of the Sioux Indians, mm-hmm. and very warlike Indians. They may have been responsible for some of the lead bullets.
Could be.
And he had various adventures. He was present at in Tombstone, Arizona, at the during the OK Corral shootout, and hid behind a wood pile to see all the excitement. And but he was one of the witnesses to this battle. And on another occasion, he was freighting from Tombstone to Nogales, and sleeping under his wagon when a group of Apache Indians came by and stole his team of horses, which were hobbled nearby, and left their horses, which were in such bad shape that they were pretty much ruined as horses. But they were in a hurry, and they didn't look for him, and he was under the wagon. And we, as children, we heard various stories of this sort. He was in a battle in Mexico between Mexicans and Yaqui Indians, who were attacking the little village where he was located. He first came to the Nogales area in 1876 and settled here something like 5 or 10 years later. Here on the ranch, we had a we have the site of an Apache massacre, and the Pet Canyon name comes from the first rancher in our ranch, whose name was Peck, and his family and a cowboy working for him were killed by Indians about 2 miles up the valley from here.
Hmm.
And the same group of Apaches who were Geronimo's group, although Geronimo was probably not present in this attack, killed people in Ruby, Arizona, which is just west of the northwest corner of our ranch. And my grandfather was on the coroner's jury to establish the cause of death of these people.
But you said your grandfather died before you were born.
So yes.
Who was telling you the stories about him?
Well, my mother and an uncle who owned the ranch just across the canyon, on just north of the Atascosa Ranch. His name was John Cumming. And
so he was your father's brother?
No, he was my mother's brother.
Oh, right, your uncle, okay.
My mother's mother, name was Bigby, I believe. I don't remember her given name. She immigrated to Arizona as a young woman, probably in her late teens. And she came from Missouri, and her father and two of her uncles were killed in the Battle of Shiloh in the Civil War. And the family was largely destroyed by these deaths. And she and I think an aunt came to Nogales, and my grandfather met her, and they were married in Nogales. She died at a young age. I think she was in her early 30s when she died. And let's see, that I don't have a great deal of information about my father's parents, but his mother died when dad was in his early teens. And his father married again, and...
Do you have any idea what was the cause of her death?
No, I don't, but that's another bit of information that my sister could probably supply.
Just so many people died of tuberculosis and things in those days that we don't think of much now.
I think I remember hearing that my mother's mother died of diabetes. And his second, my grandfather's second wife's name was Florence, and she came to Arizona and lived with us for several years when I was a small child. Very kind, pleasant person. She was a music teacher.
You said she came to Arizona.
Yes.
Wasn't she here?
No. My father's father died when he was a college student, and that date would have been about 1900, roughly. And Florence stayed in Maine, evidently, from 1900 to 1930.
So this goes back to the Maine.
Yes.
Maine family. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
so there was contact then with the Maine branch of the family, even though you were a long ways away.
That's correct. Although my father never returned to Maine. And they were married in Nogales in about 1918, and
When was your father born?
My father was born in about 1982.
Mm-hmm.
1882.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a number of years older than my mother. Immediately after they were married, they made a trip to Peru.
Just a
Made a trip to Peru.
Peru, of all places.
And my father had a job as a mining engineer and mill superintendent in a mine called Santo Domingo, which is on the east slope of the Andes, just above the Amazon jungle.
Mm.
And they stayed there for 3 years, I believe.
And what kind of mine was it?
It was a gold mine. And my sister was born in Cusco, Peru.
Oh my.
And my mother had to ride a mule from the mine to Cusco and stayed in a hospital there for several months. And
months?
Months, yes.
Wow.
Prior to the birth and then for a little while afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister was carried back to the mine in a basket with a down comforter. And I have a some notes that my sister gave me about their time in Peru, which I'll give you. I'm not sure
right.
whether you want to include them.
Oh, I think so. Mm-hmm.
And also a little article that my mother wrote for the newspaper in Santa Cruz, California.
Mm-hmm.
And
so she looked on it as a romantic adventure, I presume?
Yes.
That's just as well.
My mother was a fairly adventurous, very determined, hard-headed person. And I felt a great deal more sympathy for my father than for my mother as a child, and I'm sure this has had an effect on all of my life. I kind of grew up always being in trouble as a child. I was the youngest of three children, and my older brother always did everything right and had a probably a more attractive personality, and he was good looking and athletic and larger and heavier than I. And I was kind of the Cinderella of the family during the Depression period, and
Where was your brother born? In Peru also?
My brother was born in Tucson.
I see, they came back after
yes.
a few years in Peru.
And offhand, I don't know why he was born in Tucson, mm-hmm. but he was. And he was a member of the baseball team and the football team and the track squad. And when he was in college, he was the Border Conference shot put champion. And he played on the University of Arizona football team. And I came along as a smaller, less articulate, weaker third edition, and felt like I wasn't really appreciated as a as a child, and I had a job most of my childhood, beginning at age 12, and I think the two factors of our family being very poor, and also sort of growing up in the shadow of a older brother who was more highly rated in the family had quite a bit to do with my subsequent life and career.
Let's talk a little bit about this notion of being poor. Did you feel as a child that you were poor?
Yes, definitely did.
So often you hear people say, well, looking back on it, I know we were poor, but at the time I didn't think so. But mm-hmm. you really felt, even as a child.
Yes, I mm-hmm. did.
What sorts of things made you feel that?
Oh, we were never on welfare. But we sometimes had trouble paying the mortgage payment on our house. And my mother had a job part of the time, which was kind of unusual in the 1930s. And my father's income was sometimes good, but sometimes non-existent, mm-hmm. and it was an uncertain, unreliable way to support a family.
Did you have relatives that you had to ask for help? Were there relatives in the picture?
There were. We had a one of. My mother's brother, whose name was Bill Cumming, was president of a bank in Watsonville, California. And that family never gave us money, but I grew up wearing cast-off clothing. That sort of thing. We were...
Of course, bankers didn't always have an easy time in those years either.
No. But we were kind of in the poor but proud category. And, mm-hmm. and we didn't have very much money, but we didn't accept monetary help either. And
what sort of jobs did your mother have?
She worked as a real estate salesman. Hmm. And she had been a school teacher, and
had she gone to college?
Yes, she graduated from what was then called Tempe Normal School, which is now called Arizona State University, and
so she did have a good education.
Well, moderately good. She had gone through either a 2 or 3 year course for becoming a school teacher, and she taught school for a number of years here in Santa Cruz County, and she there are a number of stories about that, but she had a school that had one less than the minimum number of students to be qualified for state aid, and when she took over from the other teacher, the teacher showed her the list of students, and she said, there's something you should know about Pablo Gonzalez, and mother said, what is that? And the other teacher said, well, Pablo is a dog that comes to school, but isn't strictly kosher for her. And mother, this also was back in pretty much the Wild West days, and mother wore a six-shooter to school as a school teacher because of problems that they had at that time.
With whom?
With overage students and bandido types around the neighborhood. So.
Did she ever use it?
No. No, she didn't.
Just felt better having it.
And
this is a school out in the country?
Yes. You might have noticed a place name driving to the ranch this morning that is called Palo Parado, and the school was located there. It's no, there aren't even any ruins probably in the school now. And the her family ranch was called El Bosque, and it was place which was an area of dense mesquite growth and in the river bottom, and the central part of the ranch was a homestead, and the homestead had been granted and was apparently perfectly legal. And then there was a lawsuit, and the heirs to the Spanish land grant, Bacafloat land grant, sued the government.
What was the land grant?
Bacafloat. And won. The case went clear to the U.S. Supreme Court. And so the government then took the homestead away from mother's family, and they had to move out, and their affluence dropped substantially at that point.
Oh, yes.
And one of my uncles established a ranch next to this one, and the others, the ones that were still living at the ranch, moved away. One of them, or two of them, went to California. One of my uncles attended Stanford University in California. I think the uncle who was the bank president had had some university education also.
There's a lot of good schooling in the background, along with all those adventures.
Well,
emphasis on education, I would say.
Mm-hmm. We were raised to think that it was very necessary to have a college education, and my brother had been in the university for 2 or 3 years when he went into the Marine Corps. He went into the V-12 program and received a commission from the Marine Corps in 1944, and was killed in March 1945.
So how old were you then? You were just...
I was 17.
17. Did that affect you pretty much?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes. And
was he was not married?
No.
Mm-hmm. Your parents were still alive?
Yes. They were still alive. And it was of course a major tragedy in the family.
You were living at home and still in high school then?
Yes. Right. Yes, I was.
And where was the family home then?
In Tucson.
In Tucson. Uh-huh.
When I was 7 years old, the family moved from near here to Tucson.
I see.
And that was also... the point at which my father started operating small mines, and for several years I spent my summers with my father.
Oh.
And living in tents and these small mines, and when I was 7 years old, which would have been 1935, I lived at a mine near Arivaca, Arizona, which was called Silver Hill, and it had a shaft, something like 80 or 100 feet deep, into a vein, and the ore was hoisted in a with a windlass, a hand cranked winch, and it was dumped at the collar of the shaft, and then hand sorted, and the higher grade part of it was hauled in a pickup truck to an ore buyer.
So, I can guess who did the hand sorting.
Yes.
That was your job?
That was my job, or partly my job.
Mm.
And
who operated the windlass?
Oh, the Mexican miners.
I
and
see.
My father on occasion.
You didn't have to do that?
No, I wasn't big enough to do that. But I decided that that was a really probably one of the best jobs in the world. And I decided to be a mining engineer when I was 7 years old. So
your father must have approached this as a good thing to do. He made it fun for you, did he?
I think so.
It's,
I don't have very clear recollection of that part of it. But,
were you doing your own cooking?
Yes.
For perpetually camping out?
Yes. Well, not exactly camping out. The tent had wooden walls and a door. And the coyotes would come around at night and howl, and our dog would bark at them.
Was your brother doing this too?
No. He was in Tucson at that time. And I lived at several of these mines over a period of time.
Give me the name of that mine again.
Silver Hill.
Oh, Silver Hill. I thought you said something about Aravaca.
Well, it was in the Aravaca district.
And how is that spelled?
A-R-I-V-A-C-A.
Okay.
It was a very isolated location. Mm-hmm. Our mine was probably 8 or 10 miles from town, and on a rut road. Several years later, learned to drive a car on one of these mine roads when I was maybe 12 years old. And we used to hunt rabbits and doves and quail, and as a source of meat for the pot. And I grew up learning to shoot guns and hunt as a young boy. Let's see, that takes us up into the 1930. The family various times raised chickens and sold eggs in Tucson. And some of my jobs were feeding the chickens and taking care of the eggs and selling eggs and so forth. I got good grades in school through about junior high school, and I was a very undistinguished high school student. Did very little homework and had a kind of a poor attitude, and but got B's and C's probably in
but you said you were working from the time you were 12.
Yes, I had through most of high school I had a job delivering newspapers. Mm-hmm. And I rode my bicycle 20 miles a day every day, and took up a good part of my time after I got out of school.
And energy.
And I graduated from high school when I was 17 years old. And that was the year my brother was killed, and the war was still on. This was 1945. And a friend of mine from high school and I made a trip to Phoenix, which was the Marine Corps recruiting office, and took our physicals to enlist in the Marine Corps. And I was unable to enlist because I didn't have my parents hadn't signed my form. And I came back to Tucson and negotiated with them on this point. And by good luck or bad luck, depending on how you look at it, that was the date of the Hiroshima atom bomb.
Hmm.
And I was able to guess that perhaps the war would end very quickly. And it did, and so I, by that time I had my form signed, but I didn't enlist in the Marine Corps. If I had, it would have subsidized my university education, and maybe have matured my personality, which was still pretty immature.
Mm.
But in any case, that was a little significant crossroads. And I entered the University of Arizona in September 1945 and was admitted to the College of Mines because I scored well on the placement tests. And it was a little bit difficult to get into the College of Mines at that time. And I got in okay, but I had some trouble staying. For the next 2 years, I also played on the University of Arizona football team in fall of 1945. I was on the varsity team, but not a first team member.
You must have played in high school as well.
I did 1 year in mm-hmm. high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I also learned about going out with girls, which I had never done in high school, and worked for the newspaper, and I was taking ROTC and
in college
mm-hmm. and the sergeant who was in charge of the rifle team noticed that I was a good rifle shot and invited me to be a member of the rifle team. And all in all, I had lots of fun for one or two semesters, until the chickens came home to roost, and the dean of the College of Mines told me that it didn't look good for me to be able to stay in the College of Mines, and he criticized me frequently for having demonstrated the capacity to be an engineer through my placement tests and being about to flunk out because of sloth and
mm-hmm.
and lack of seriousness.
Were you living at home?
No, my family at about that same time had moved, bought a cotton farm north of Tucson near Red Rock, Arizona, and sold their house in Tucson, and they were living there, and so I lived in a dormitory. Mm-hmm. And
were you working at all?
Yes, I worked every summer while I was in university and had part-time jobs during the school year, and the total money contribution to my education was about $500, and the rest of it I earned myself.
You and say your family gave you $500?
Yes.
But you were on the football team and ROTC and working part-time?
Working part-time. And
discovering girls?
Yes.
Dating? That sounds like a busy year.
Yes. I didn't get any F's in my courses.